Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and 96.5 TIC. Our guest this morning is Republican State Senator Henry Martin of Bristol. We're going to be talking about how Connecticut lawmakers have been having conversations recently with the State Department of Energy and Environmental Protection about basically the future of gas-powered vehicles in Connecticut. It's been something that has been talked about so much this year already, and it's a topic that's not going away anytime soon, so it's important to continue to get updates as they happen. Good morning, Senator, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Morgan. Thanks for having me.
Very happy to have you on. I know that you guys have been having conversations with the state deep recently. Could you just start us off with a summary on where things are and what has happened in the last week or so?
Sure. So this past July, Governor Lamont and DEEP announced that they were going to be adopting regulations to ban the sale of gasoline and diesel-operated vehicles starting in 12 years from now. So that would be in the year 2035. And not too many people actually know about this, but nonetheless, this week, the committee, which is these regulations that they are asking the Regs Review Committee at the state legislature to adopt. And that decision, that conversation is going to take place in November. This week they did have a meeting. I think the start of the conversation began, and they're going to follow up next month.
What are alternatives to getting to this point? Because there is some support for finding a new way to improve our transportation in the coming decades and in the coming years. But to many, it seems like that this is being jumped. So from your perspective, what's a better path forward here?
Yeah, so let me just be clear. I don't think anybody's against EVs. I think it is an option for our consumers, our state people, the state of Connecticut. But it's, I guess what we are concerned about is the aggressive plan that is placed before us here and in trying to achieve these emission goals that, you know, the state has placed us under. Currently, back in 2004, we passed legislation that adopted California emission standards. And currently, California adopted new regulations to ban the sale of gas-powered cars. And now, the Lamont administration is moving forward with those California regulations for the state of Connecticut. Now, the problem is that, you know, a choice is being taken away from us. More importantly is, what's the impact of these regulations moving forward? There are a lot of unanswered questions, and, you know, the cost, the power supply. And what I mean by that is, how much additional power do we actually need? So currently, you know, we sell about 136,000 cars annually in Connecticut, and currently only 1% of all those cars are EVs. Let me put it a different way. 3 million registered vehicles, and only 1% are EVs. That's like 36,000 cars. So if we're going to bring on, by 12 years from now, all new vehicles, so 136,000 new cars every year, how much power do those vehicles require? We don't have an answer for that. And where is that power going to come from? Meaning that, is the current power grid that supplies our electricity able to provide that amount of new power? We don't have an answer to that. Or do we have to build a new generator, meaning that the companies, you know, we have an array of power suppliers here in the state of Connecticut, and they are, you know, they provide the power to the power grid. My question is how much additional power are we going to need to meet the new demand, and are we going to need to build a new power station or a generator, or are the current power suppliers able to provide the new power? And the answers are not immediately given to us.
Are you finding that there...
Let me just add one additional thing.
Yes.
So is that power going to be clean? So is it going to be provided by, let's just say, no, the current generators are ample enough to provide that electricity. But we have a nuclear power with Millstone, and then we have the companies that provide the electricity are powered by gas. And what does that mean? And to the prices of providing the electricity.
Are you hearing concerns from across the aisle about this plan?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I heard that this week in the regulatory regs review board that there were some questions asked. And to be frank, yeah, there are questions. Think about this, Morgan. So, you know, power stations, power charging stations are going to be required to throughout the state of Connecticut. So where are they going to go? How many are we going to need? And what's the cost of that? What's the cost of, you know, let's go back a little bit to the generators, right? The power supply companies that provide the electricity to the grid. So we're told by Eversource, and this is at a very high level, I'll say, you know, 30,000 foot high, in that the example that was given in public testimony a few months back, I think it was in May, that they, just Eversource, we've got two companies that provide the electricity. They transmit the electricity to the consumers here in Connecticut, and they are Eversource and United Illuminated, right? So if you buy an EV and I buy an EV and our neighbors, we're in the same neighborhood, and the whole neighborhood purchases EVs, then the transformer at the end of the street is going to need to be changed. And then if the next neighborhood does the same thing and the next neighborhood after that, then the transmission lines, those power lines, are going to have to be upgraded. They're going to have to be a little bit larger. Now when you go from neighborhood to town, an entire town, to the next town and the next town, now you're talking about the larger transmission lines that need to be changed out. Those costs, we don't know. Eversource came out and said, "What we have not made any design plans currently. What we do know, and the cost of upgrading the current grid that we have will need to be changed. It will need to be updated along with all the substations that we have. In addition to, we'll need to build 14 new substations." And that's only Eversource. And that's, they estimated, again, more, I'm going to say, a back of an envelope, a little bit, $2.4 billion. And what I just told you about changing out the transformers and the transmission lines, that's not included. So what does that mean to the cost of power? Currently, I think we're the fifth in the country that pays the highest electrical rates. So if we're going to be saying to the state of Connecticut, if you need to purchase these EVs, all new EVs, then show us a plan that, what's the cost of that, and what does that mean to the consumers? What's that mean to your electrical rates, Morgan? What does it mean to mine? We don't know that. It's just a half-baked plan.
In other words, and I'm talking on Face Connecticut this morning with Republican State Senator Henry Martin of Bristol, Connecticut's 31st District. In other words, what you're telling me is that you guys have had some conversations with the utilities like Eversource, but the information that's needed to make a full decision on this and to enact a plan is not currently there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are so many inconveniences that we've identified, and you know, we're going to be pumping millions of dollars into this needed infrastructure. You need to have the infrastructure in place for this to happen, but not only here in the state of Connecticut, but throughout the whole country. But it's an extensive infrastructure of all these charging stations that are going to be required. And that means, in addition, that not only homeowners, but you got to recruit retailers to have them in their parking areas, and businesses to install them in their workplace. Talk to any trucking with a large number of fleets. What does it mean to them? So in addition to the lightweight cars, by 12 years from now, 2035, by 2042, we're talking about 20,042, any midsize and large trucks are going to be, need to be EV. And currently, they're going, from what we are told, they're probably going to consume 40% of all the energy, just that alone. So, you know, California, I think some information that we've learned in California, that for every current gas pump that is in service right now, they need 20 charging stations in order to keep up with the flow and the, you know, for people pulling in and getting gas, et cetera.
Then comes the question of where are those going to be put?
That's correct. Yeah. Now think about this. Let's take it a step further. So you own a multifamily apartment building, two family, three family, four family. And whose responsibility is that? Are the renters or is it the landlord? And are we going to force it on the landlords to provide that to their tenants? And if not, okay, then that means the renters, they purchase an EV, are now going to need to go to a retailer, some facility or some spot where they're going to need to be able to recharge. Now, recharging, from what we learn, is takes 30 minutes, and that's quick, a quick 20 to 30 minutes, and a longer one takes 3 hours, 4 hours. So these renters are going to need to go where? What's that going to look like? Now take it another level. How about if you got 100 units of a complex? You know, here in Bristol, there's a 200-unit complex, one in particular that I have in mind, but there's a handful that have 40, 30 units. What does that mean there? And what does it mean to all the businesses? How many businesses are we going to lose as a result of this?
This was announced on July 26th of this year, which means that this came after the past legislative session, and we at this point are about 3 months away from the start of the next legislative session in February of 2024. So are you expecting that this is going to come up for a large discussion in the General Assembly next year?
If we do, I think we'll be very fortunate. Unfortunately, is next month, this vote, if there is it's a bipartisan board, it's the equally number of Republicans, equal number of Democrats. And the objective, in order to stop this, a no vote to those regulations that are being submitted by the governor and Department of Environmental and Energy Department, we need to have a no vote in order to stop this sort of in its tracks, put on the brakes. And then we can have that discussion in February in the session where we can go back to where we adopted whatever California does. Then we can change to the EPA, the federal standards, which do not require us to do this. And that's the objective, is to put on the brakes for next month and then come back in the intercession in February and address this so that we do not have to conform to California. So, you know, Morgan, think about this. So we're at the mercy of California, really? So how am I constituent able to talk to a representative, a state senator, the governor in California? So whatever they do, we have to adopt that? Where's I just gave any type of authority or power or a discussion over to California. How's that? You know, I don't know what they did in 2004. I don't think, if that vote was taken today, I think it would be quite different.
Is it a possibility to repeal that 2004 legislation?
Yes, absolutely. If we say no to these regulations, then in February, we come back and say we introduce a bill and get the legislators behind it and say, no, we're not going to follow those standards. We're not going to allow California to dictate our regulations. We can go to the federal standards. And I think there's only a handful of states, and I don't know the number, Morgan, but there's only a handful of states that follow the California standards.
Have you or your colleagues ever been in touch with anybody from California on how this works in the state there?
No, we have not. I came across an article regarding, an article as to what's happening out there in California, and they raised pretty much the same concerns regarding the what's happening. You know, when I brought up the lack of jobs, you know, that what they are seeing is anyone who builds engines, you know, this job creation that they're claiming, yeah, we are going to create some jobs, manufacturing jobs that are in another part of the country, but here locally, we're going to lose jobs. Those that are in the, that have anything to do with building any engines, all the parts of engines, those individuals will be out of jobs. All those repair shops, some of them will be able to service some of the electric cars, but you won't see as many repair shops. And it's just a matter of time. If we adopt these regulations in 2035, what's the lifespan of a vehicle? 10 years? 12 years? Maybe 15, right? Based on 10,000 miles a year, 12,000 miles a year, 120. Let's say you get 200,000 miles a year, 10,000 miles a year, that's 20 years. So by 2055, I know we're talking out there a little bit, right, 25 years or so from now, but think you won't have any more gasoline-operated vehicles in the country or in Connecticut. So all those jobs will all go away, you know. So there's just a lot of unseen questions. And also there's the environmental impact of this, and people don't talk about the materials that are required. We're looking at nickel, cobalt, lithium, and those come from another part of the world. Russia, we've learned that some of those essential materials come from Russia, China, Ukraine, Africa, Afghanistan, and other parts of the world as well. But this lithium, there's a process to that, and I've seen a couple of photos that show the environmental impact and the process that it goes through, and you can't help but see that, okay, this violates some of the standards that we have in the state of Connecticut. That would not take place here. And also, it also raises the human rights impact of the EVs. A lot of these mining that takes place violates human rights. And that's a whole nother issue, or the child labor issues globally. So there's a lot to talk about, Morgan, a lot of talk to talk about.
Well, it will definitely be interesting to follow what happens in November and also the discussions that maybe had come next year's legislative session. What are you hearing from your constituents? Are they concerned? Are you finding that many state residents aren't even aware that this is going on? What are you hearing from people in your district, the 31st District, Senator Martin?
Morgan, I have monthly breakfast meetings, and one in Plymouth and one in Bristol every single month. And this past week, the one that I went to, the very first question was about the EVs. And then the conversation took off from there. And then most of the people do not know about this. Do not know about this. This is moving forward very quietly. The media has not, I think they're aware of it, you know, because this goes back to July. And I hope that from between now and November 28th, many people have heard about what's going on with this mandate that's being forced on us, because it's going to be costly. We don't know what the cost is going to be. I don't know if you've been following what's happened down at State Pier, down in New London, right, with the wind
energy. Correct.
And, you know, that was sold to us. And I was in the room when this pitch was made. Gee, this is good for us, state of Connecticut, going to cost us $91 million. Well, it went from $91 million to $150 million. Then it went to $150 to $225, $235, $250, $300 plus, $303 million now. And that's all because no details were provided. We were sold. I felt like we were hoodwinked into this, and this feels the same way to me right now. It's that we're given, oh, this is good for the economy. This is good for the emissions that is in our air. We're going to be reducing it. I beg to differ. What is the demand required to accommodate all the new EVs and eventually the trucks? What's the total demand? Well, what is the cost of that? But if you're saying that we need X power, 40 megawatts, what does that cost? What does that mean? Who's going to provide it? And if it's going to be these current facilities, these generators here in the state of Connecticut, how much emissions are they going to be producing in the air minus the emissions that we're taking out with having less gasoline operated vehicles? I get that. I think we all want clean air.
Let me ask you this. Is there any possible compromise here? Instead of going full on with the EVs in the year 2035, maybe it's hybrid vehicles. Is that something that's been floated around in the General Assembly at all?
We will have discussions. I think we all want what's right, what's the right thing, what's the right mix. Yes. We can have those discussions. What we're looking to do is first stop, make sure we have a no vote so that we can have that discussion in February. Currently, if this vote goes through, it's a done deal. This is going to happen. If it ends up in a 7-7 vote, it's a done deal. If it ends up with no vote, it's a done deal. So it's imperative that we get a no vote, and the people of those that want to call, I would encourage all your listeners to call their state legislators, and particularly on the Democratic side, because I'm positive you're probably going to get a no vote across the board with the Republicans, just because of so many unanswered questions that they call their legislators and tell them to vote no on this.
Senator Martin, definitely an issue that's not going to go away, and I think we'll have more conversations about this in the months to come.
Have a great weekend.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.